On this third Sunday of Lent, our preaching on cross training invites us to reflect on dealing with toxic relationships that we experience in our lives. Simply put, a toxic relationship is an unhealthy relationship. It devalues, it dehumanizes, it tends to be abusive. It is devoid of a shared desire to have happiness or for happiness for each other. Often, the underlying causes of such a relationship could be a lack of trust, self-centeredness, insecurity, selfishness, and a desire to dominate the other. In May 1977, my home diocese was realigned to conform to a directive from the Holy See in Rome to have the seat of the diocese located in the political administrative capitals of our country. Though a laudable pastoral move, the unintended consequence has remained a toxic relationship in the diocese, since it was not kindly taken by the flock in the area from which the movement of the seat had to take place. Moving away from that hometown or that part of the parish, the people from there felt it was a betrayal of their faith and their position in the history of the diocese. And I can say that the toxicity of that relationship continues to influence perceptions of the mission and the life of our diocese, to the extent that diocesan appointments, whether of lay people or of clerics or of priests, is seen from those lenses and interpreted from that point of view. And sometimes with people experiencing some amount of being let down. We all do get a share of our toxic relationships in varied forms and in varying ways. I can say that personally, I have lived in that environment and ministered in that environment. And I can assure you that while I was on pastoral year, the last year before I would be ordained, I happened to be in a parish that perceived me to be an enemy because of this toxic relationship. And there was somebody who single-handedly vilified me and promoted a campaign to see that I would not succeed in the parish by convincing even the youth I had to work with not to work with me. Mass service, Catholic youth organizations, she just simply didn't want me to succeed. There were other instances living in that environment and experiencing those conditions that would have turned me into a bitter priest, a bitter person. But at least I think I'm not a bitter person and I'm not a bitter priest. I don't know how I come across to you, but at least I think I'm not a bitter priest, because I have joy in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. Jesus gave to me, and no one can deny it. I have joy in my heart, deep, deep down in my heart. So, but for the sake of the grace of God, I would be a bitter person, I would be a bitter priest, spewing venom at anybody and taking it on innocent people. At least, I believe I don't come across as such a person. deal with our toxic relationships requires an openness to the grace of God for healing, for growth. Seeing them as processes we must bear, and with the grace of God, trying to triumph over them, over negativity. And so, as I said, toxic relationships may manifest itself in a feeling of one being taken for granted, being devalued, being unappreciated, a feeling of being used, a feeling of constantly not being heard, and being overlooked in a relationship. And it can happen within a family context, it can happen within the work context, with your boss, and so on and so forth. The readings of the liturgy today open our eyes to the fact that this is an ancient problem. Toxic relationship. God and his people, Israel, and provides the way forward to dealing with such relationships. Take the first reading, for instance. God dealing with Israel. Mighty signs and wonders God, through Moses, led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. But at Massah and Meribah, names that mean the place of testing and quarreling, we see a clear example of a relationship gone sour. Did you bring us out here to die and to perish in this wilderness? Is God in our midst or not? They question and doubt God's love for them and his sincerity in his relationship with them. The reproaches that are sung on Good Friday remind us clearly of this relationship which went on and on. My people, what have I done to you? How have I afflicted you? Answer me. It was I who led you out of the land of Egypt. It was I who fed you with manna and brought you into a land exceedingly good. And you have become to me exceedingly bitter. Holy God, holy and mighty God, holy, mighty and immortal one, have mercy. And when we sing this, we cannot but realize that over and over again, God was merciful, was gracious, was loving and reaching out to these people, and constantly it backfired, they turned against him. Well, in today, the immediate need of the desert wandering people was water to satisfy their thirst. And in its absence, doubt and fear set in among the people, and they begin to question God's love for them. They wrongly assume that God has abandoned them to die in the wilderness. All hope, all joy, all peace vanished before them. And God's demonstrated power and kindness towards them is promptly forgotten. Does this sometimes happen to us in face of danger? In face of some difficulty that we forget and we question, is God here with me? But again, God showed his compassion by miraculously providing them with water from a rock. A rock seems the most unlikely place to find water, but that is precisely the point. It is not the rock that is providing the water. It is God who is providing the water. And he showed his constant love for them by accompanying these people all through their journey. Protecting them from harm and providing for their needs. All they needed to do is to trust him and be open up. Opening up to receiving more graces. In the gospel of today, Jesus encounters a woman who has a record of being in a toxic relationship. She is thirsty for meeting Mr. Right, but the thirst has not been satisfied after 5 husbands. And she is living with another man. Clearly, This is a woman who is familiar with disappointment in love. Her failed relationships define her vulnerability and points to a possible loss of self-esteem, marginalization, and being taken advantage of. Clearly, she is still hoping to meet the right man who will fulfill her deepest needs. But now she is facing a man who is not just any other man. And she knows that. She even calls him a prophet. She opens up to him and she is healed of that toxic or bitterness that would have been in her life. She's transformed and becomes a messenger, an apostle, or somebody who would announce the good news to others. This man knows her for who she is, and he doesn't leave her in a heap of pain. He doesn't call her names. He doesn't reprimand her. He merely states things as they are. While Jesus is talking to her about her sex life, she wants to have a seminar on liturgy, on the proper place to worship God. She is uncomfortable having Jesus come too close to home, and she wants to move the subject away from her personal life onto a very abstract level. But for healing, for Jesus, healing of her relationship starts from her willingness to face the truth about who she is and her real need. And it is in addressing this real need that she is healed. Jesus gives her some water, water of a different sort, living water, a water that will satisfy her forever. In so doing, Jesus is actually giving her himself. For he's giving her life, the life-giving spirit of God. This is what we need to deal with our toxic relationships. And so, this same Jesus is the answer to all the sources of our toxic relationships. Rather than searching for water that does not satisfy us, rather than searching for this in food, in alcohol, in pornography, in other forms of passive-aggressive behavior, Jesus invites us to come to him and drink from his well, the well that gives us the life-giving spirit of God that truly satisfies our needs. Once somebody said, the world is thirsty, but it doesn't know. You want to give them water, and they are asking for Jack Daniels. We're searching at the beach for a lost key. But where did you leave the key? In your backyard. You're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to find an answer. You are itching at the back, and you're scratching at the front. It's not going to resolve your problem. Jesus calls us to come to him. He is the key to helping us triumph over our crosses that find expression in the toxic relationships that we live every day. Let us open our hearts and minds to him. Let us have the courage and the humility to come to him for that healing. Amen.
Amen. Amen.